the Wise Words with One Gone Show.
I'm on top of the world, baby. Please don't hold me down. While the world is going crazy, oh, I'm keeping my head down.
Treat our bodies better, then we're going to suffer, right? We're going to suffer. So I'm asking each one of you, take care of yourself. It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show. I'm going to the phone line with the panel of mine. I got some people on here, man. Woo-wee, it's a powerful panel today. And it's always that way because I got the same people on there. We're going to our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Tim, and good morning to our faithful contributors as well as our faithful listening audience. We are looking forward to the opportunity to pour into subject matter and express our gratitude and talk about experiences and that bring gratitude and talk about things that we're doing that will bring gratitude. So we're looking forward to sharing with you this morning.
I say, Mark the Disciple.
Grand Rising Kings and Queens, today is a blessed day to be alive. It's a blessing to be a blessing, so let's be a blessing.
I say, Double R in the car, happy anniversary, Double R, to you and yours.
Yeah.
Hey, top of the top, Black family, man. Yeah. Double R's in the car, man. Wonderful day yesterday, man. Me and my wife just celebrated our 25th year. So we did something kind of just out of the budget, man. We painted our room yesterday. We had spent the whole day on painting this room. Been trying to paint it for 2 years, and we finally, well, we got it primed all the way through. So we got that done. So it was a blessed day just to spend this time with my gift that God gave me, man. And I missed the show yesterday, but hopefully I can catch up. I yield back.
I say you ain't lost nothing, man. You on time all the time. I got a caller calling from the 916-502. Good morning. You might be on mute. Good morning. Got a caller calling from the 916-510. That's Charles. Charles, what's good, man? What's up, Mr. Ware?
Well, that's 410-115. Not a whole lot, man. Just happy to be on top of the dirt this morning, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's my big bro right there, Charles Ware. We're going to get back with you and let you say what you do and how you do for the community. But I got a call on here from 916-502-12. I need you to say hello at least if you're going to ear hustle with us. Hello. Well, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Hey, so today, did you say something? Did somebody say something?
I don't think it was the caller.
Okay, so watch this. Here we go. So, you know, we go through a lot in our life, right? And we go through some ups and some downs, and, you know, we can always complain about complaint, right? We can always find something negative to talk about, and you can get 45 people to go that way with you. But when you go to speaking about what you're thankful for and something that's positive, you might have one or two got to ride with you on that wave, right? And so I said today, we need to be thankful and be grateful that we even here. Some of us been Amen. Through so much, man. Some of us been through so much, man, that I don't even know how we still here. But it's by the grace of God that we are here. And not only here, we're relevant. See, it's a thing to me to know that, you know, I was out of here. But God spared me to do just what I'm doing today, blessing somebody else through the blessing that God gave me. And what God blessed me with is just life and a way to live life. See, if you go and lean on God's understanding, he will provide a way for you in his will for you and your will. And so we can't play with that thing. See, a lot of times people play with that thing, and God ain't nobody to play with. So what I'm asking listeners today and the callers that call in, tell me something that you're thankful for before I turn this thing over to Mr. Marvell, who may tell you about what happened last night at the Florin Road, Florin Square. And so I'll start it off. Again, I'm thankful that my wife is out of that hospital. I'm thankful that she's in her right mind. And I'm thankful that she understand that whatever she going through and what the test results came back, she didn't just fall down and just get, woe is me. She said, I'm going to believe in God. I'm gonna let God handle this in my body. Man might have to do a little removal or something, but it's God that I trust in. And I can't halfway trust in God. I can't pray about it and then worry about it. Because if you pray about it, you ain't got to worry about it. So I need y'all to know that's why I'm thankful. I'm also thankful for yesterday, clarity that we got. We got clarity yesterday. Yesterday, it could have been upside down. You know, people like to have animosity, and people like to have, you know, things in an uproar so we can all have something to point to and something to point at. But yesterday, I was allowed to talk to my brother and my sister and the world about understanding and being misunderstood. God dog it. Understanding and being misunderstood. Because if you get misunderstood, there won't be no understanding. So we have to talk and communicate with one another, uplift one another in the communications that we have. We can't put each other down. We have to uplift each other. Now, if I'm wrong, correct me in a way that doesn't offend me. And sometimes you might have to offend me to correct me. But if I am not in that frame of mind and you know I'm not, don't do it. Because all you've been to do is start a fire. And that fire might burn up a million acres. With that being said, I'm going to pass this mic to somebody that has something to be thankful about. We got somebody with some noise in the background. Mute your phone. Mute your phone. Thank you. Brother Marvell, what are you thankful for? I know how to do this.
Well, to put my finger on something right now, I'm grateful that I'm able to hear something and be able to put it through a process to move toward understanding, because for a long time in my life, since I was 12 years old, I was using stuff outside of myself to distort that ability to do that, because I wasn't in touch with how I felt about myself or how I felt about my circumstance. So I used drugs. So it didn't matter how I felt, you know, about inside. It just mattered how the drugs took me away from that feeling or raised the tempo of a feeling that I favored over my true feeling. So I did a lot to, you know, because they say when you use a drug, you kill brain cells. That's what I heard. And I should be mindless and brainless now. Much dope out of you, right? However, the Spirit of God said, okay, not you. Because I want you to be that. Like back in the day, they used to have these scouts that go in front of the wagon train and be able to say what direction we should go. So they go miles and miles out in front of the wagon train, and if they're fortunate enough to report back to say what's happening, if they didn't get caught up by animals or by adversaries, Indians or people who didn't appreciate you coming infringe upon their land, If you made it back, you gave a report. And so I wasn't a volunteer scout, but that's what I ended up being. I ended up being in a scout about this at the avenues that, that will lead you to treachery, or the avenues that will lead you to self-destruction, avenues that will lead you to somewhere that you really don't want to be. And I was able to come back and report. That's what I do now. I'm giving the report to the best of my ability of what it is that if you make a decision to go in a certain direction, because I scouted it out, I can pretty much tell you ain't no future in it. So I'm grateful that I'm still preserved to have faculty, able to still communicate and to some degree be understood to share what I have to offer, because I'm also grateful that I have something and that I'm willing to share it. And I yield.
Ashe, Ashe, Mark the Disciple, what do you have to be thankful and grateful for?
I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful that God gave me a chance to redeem myself. It's a lie to redeem you, but once you redeem yourself, forgive yourself of your past no longer affects you. And so me being able to go forward and at the present time being a blessing to others, just being able to make someone smile or laugh, that's what I'm thankful for.
Ashe, Ashe. Double R, you in the car. What are you thankful for?
Yes, sir. Oh, man, a lot of things. But specifically, bro, this year, man, and I'm going to just say this honestly. I'm just so thankful for this show, man. To be able to get with like-minded brothers and sisters, and to just to brainstorm about these tasks that we have as a people in front of us, and hitting it head on, you know, and all things of life we talk about, you know, day-to-day things, and I just like this station, man. Y'all know I'm on here, man. I tell y'all it's like Christmas every morning when I come and get onto this show, man. I just love to hear people. My people, and what, you know, especially the things that y'all doing up there down south or here in Southern Cal, man, this is just a blessed station for me, man, just to hear. I mean, we all walks of life here, all different beliefs and everything, just to create the unity for us, you know, as black people. I yield back.
Ashe. Charles Ware, what are you thankful for?
Yes, sir. Good morning, everybody. Like I said in the introduction, I'm thankful that I'm on top of the dirt, you know, because it was touch and go there for a minute, you know, like I was talking to you earlier, that January 11th, I'm at Stanford Medical in stage 5 kidney failure, you know, and December 25th, I'm at home hanging out with the family. Everything is fine. So you can imagine what a shock that was to me. But like I said, I'm from that old school. If it ain't broke and it ain't bleeding, just keep pushing. And that's definitely the wrong attitude to have. You know, I'm preaching a whole different sermon now. Yeah, I'm still shocked. I woke up at Stanford Medical looking at the cardiology, nephrology, and ophthalmology team and couldn't figure out how I got there. It had to be just God's grace, because I could have just died right where I was, you know. Basically, you know what I do, Mr. T. I'm boots on the ground. Old Park Homeless is my nonprofit, and I stay in the streets. You know, could be a pair of socks, a pair of gloves, a sleeping bag, a tent. I try to meet everybody, you know, at their point in life. You know, just do what I can to make you know, to help with their daily challenges. Because I know when I was out there on the streets and on drugs, exactly what they're facing.
Ashe. That's touching for me. That's my big breath. And I know his struggle. I know how he came through it. I know how he is, who he is. And I just ask God to continue to bless him, to bless others, uplift his spirits, and keep him whole enough to people can see how God works in your life. I got a caller still at the 502 number. I just wanted to know, are you thankful? You can say yes, and then you don't have to say anything else. All right, they ear hustling. They doing a good job of it, too. Hey, so it's the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio, and today is a beautiful day, even though it's about to rain for the next 3 days. I would say we need the rain, but we don't. We don't need this rain, not this one right here. It is, we don't need this rain right here. No. But anyway, so I'm going to go to our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, and we're going to open the line for communication. Maybe somebody going through something right now that they need to, you know, be heard, you know, because sometimes if we can get stuff off our chest, we can do our best. I said, if we can get it off our chest, then we can do our best. But before that, I got Uncle Joe just came in. We haven't started a topic yet, so you're right on time. We've been talking about what we're thankful for on this Thankful Thursday, Uncle Joe. So welcome to the show, Uncle Joe. Good morning.
How you doing this morning? So I was, how you doing this morning? And as I said last night, oh, yes, I'm grateful every hour I get a chance to be amongst the brotherhood, number one, and number two, that, you know, God gives you the chance to be here. I really thought that it was going to be a ceremony this past weekend, but once again, he has said no to that thought, and I'm grateful for it. The blessings that I've received and I've watched, I can't say anything bad. You know, I'm thankful that I'm here. Thank you, and thank you. Thank you, brother.
Hey, we glad you're here too, Brother Joe. You a mighty warrior in the midst of a real battle, right? And I look to you for guidance, leadership, and honesty, right? That's what I look from you, because what we get when we give that and we receive that is understanding. And that's all I need is some understanding, and I'm going all the way. Without further ado, I have the host with the most for you. It is Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And thank you, brothers, for sharing episodes that defined why we should be grateful. I always thought, I'm going to share this, too, that we are fortunate after we've gone through to have something to reflect back on so that gratitude could be easily sought. And I guess that's a plus for us. However, everyone may not have that dossier to draw from to say, because I do it a lot whenever I'm I'm in the midst of something and it's weighing on me. What I can do, if I choose, which most of the time I do, is to look back on the time when I wish I had a problem like this. You know? So the question is, you want what you got back then, or you want what you got now? And the answer is, I'll take now for $1,000, Alex. Right now, give it to me. Because there was a time when I wished I had these kind of concerns. So that's the plus part of having a background of self-destruction and all of the things that go along with self-destructive behaviors, that I can reflect on that. Maybe everybody doesn't have that. And so that's why we're urging you not to have to experience that, to get what we have, gratitude. Because I think gratitude is a simple acknowledgement in the midst of chaos. And it's something that one, if the practice can draw from, without having a dossier like ours, but having a working knowledge that whatever I'm going through right now, if I keep my head level and keep my eyes level and don't lose my composure, and don't pour too much into it and don't give too much weight to it than it deserves, then it's probably going to pass. So I mean, my gratitude, man, listen, I can give you episode after episode after episode that makes it clear that that I, you know, if you heard, if you saw what happened, you would say, man, you survived that? No, you grateful. You survived that? No, you got to be, man, you got through that? No, you should be grateful. Because I saw what I saw, it looked like you wasn't going to make it, or I have a history of wanting to take five people's lives, meaning when I got through doing what I doing to them, I wanted them to be dead. I wanted them, my goal was for them to not live anymore. And I was deliberate about that, but the Spirit of God said, no. So I'm just grateful.
Come on, somebody.
That we can share stuff with people, and we can urge others to recognize the power of gratitude and not take it lightly. It's there to draw from when everything else seems to fail. And I'll yield.
Ashe. Brother, I feel that. And that's why Thankful Thursday is good for us, man, so we can reflect on where we came from and why we thankful. See, we get big-headed. We get a few dollars. We get a few coins. We don't even do nothing with them coins. We get them, though, and we stack it, and then I think your attitude gets stacked with it, and you forget about the little things in life, right? The little things that really matter to you, you overstep them now. And so Thankful Thursday gives you a slowdown moment so you can realize from where you came from to where you're at now and the things that you have went through to be the best you can be right now. See, if I wouldn't have went through the things that I went through, I wouldn't be the man I am today. I don't think I would. I don't think I would, because that's the way God designed it. He designed for me to go through the valley of death. He told me don't fear no evil, right? It said it in the good book. And so I took it from my flesh and stretched it so far that, you know, I made a muck of myself. You know, I made the walk that I was walking was supposed to be for the divine, but I was taking it for mine and making a mess out of every footstep. Oh, no, I ain't killed nobody. I ain't robbed nobody. I ain't broken no house, no stole no car. But I sold drugs to a pregnant woman a couple of times. And that haunts me to the day, y'all. That right there, man, I can't get that out my mind of how ruthless I was. That's ruthless, man. That's gangster right there. Selling drugs to a pregnant woman. And I used to say, man, if I don't sell it to her, somebody else is. The devil had me tricked, y'all. So I'm thankful that I'm not in that mindset no more. I'm thankful I don't have to rely on hustling in the streets and trying to get it out the mud. I'm thankful that God has given me direction while he was giving me correction. When they say he leads you by still waters, I believe in that because he has guided me in the way I should go. And I know a lot of people don't like me because I don't do the same things I don't do no more. I used to do no more. It's a lot of people don't like me because I'm not in the pigs, what they call that stall, eating that slop and no, I'm not there. I believe in God, and I'm doing his will for my life. And so, hey, man, listen here. You have a testament. you have a story that can save someone else, but you won't say nothing about it. You're keeping it to yourself. You're keeping it to yourself. That story, that testimony is for somebody else, y'all. That's to give them strength to know that they, too, can make it. So, with that being said, man, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I love all of y'all, you know. And I know that there's a brighter day. So we have to walk that in the way of the light to get there. And it's going to be a lot of stumbling blocks in your way. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of naysayers in your way. Oh, yeah. But you have to stand with your head up, man, and move accordingly to the will of God for you. Don't deny it. Don't deny it, people. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. I was in denial a long time. You know, it. 27 years ago is when I made my change. 27 years ago, I made a change, right? 27 years ago. I was 31 years old. And I got on my knees, put my head to the ground, and said, use me. Use me. I want to be used in the right way. Mm. And God is so good and so marvelous that he said, if I lay down all of my cares on him and just follow his direction, that I would be all right. And I go through a lot, but, hey, it ain't like it used to be. Hey, you know what? I'm going to say this, and I ain't bragging. Watch this. It's been plenty of times I counted $100,000 of my own money and sit there and lay in it and play in it and all that because I was in the world, right? But there was some sorry days. There was some sorry. I'm going to say it the way I really want to say it. There was some sorry-ass days. I wasn't happy. Man, I was trying to please folks with the money. We going on big trips and all that. People know me. They know my story. And I wasn't even happy. Man, right now I'm so filled with the Holy Spirit that there ain't no better feeling. And I'm going to pass this mic.
I had a chaplain tell me, while I was overseas, you talking about a moment, and we were sitting up on the hill, and we were talking, and it was Sunday, and he said something. He said, you know, the Bible says, thou should not kill, and for some reason, just like you just said, for some unknown reason. Yeah, I'm sitting on a mountain in Vietnam, and I'm having the preacher say to me, because I was talking to him, you know, thou shalt not kill. I knew that because I grew up in the church. And believe me, fellas, at that moment, I right to this day, I don't understand it, but I'm glad I went through it because when I got back here in 1970, when I got out of 1970, I tried to do what the devil wanted me to do. Yes, I did. I surely did. 70 to 72, 3, or 4. I was trying. Running the streets, you understand, cocaine was big in the city, blah, 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 blah. Snow seals, if you remember how to run. So cocaine back in the day, it was in a plastic container, you know what I'm saying, a seal. Man, fellas, I got sick. Yes, I did. I got sick. I asked God. I said, God, if you can help me through this. I said, I'll never, ever, ever, right to this day. And like you said, that was 27. Man, that's 35. And I have been trying to walk the path that all my people came through the church. And so I grew up in the church. My father was an associate minister. They thought that I was going to follow in his footsteps, but my father was a womanizer. So no, I wasn't. I didn't want to do that. But the words that stick in my mind is straight and narrow. God walks straight and narrow. Very difficult thing to do. Very difficult thing to do. But if you can accomplish that, the blessings of life untold. And I can testify to the fact that I've tried, and he's been true to his word. I've been sick. I've been knocked down. But he's been true to his word. Let me get up. I can't say that, but God bless y'all, man, and God bless you. I'm going to keep stepping. I'm going to keep stepping.
Man, I felt that. I felt that. Uncle Joe is 75 years young, right? And when he come on, when Uncle Joe come on and he deliver his words, man, I feel that, right? I feel that because he don't have to be in our presence, right? He don't have to. He want to be in our presence to make us better, to help us get better. And that right there, Uncle Joe, is why I lean to God's understanding to know that you are here for a purpose and a reason. Will there be another? Oh, we got a caller calling in from the 916-5460. Hello.
Hello. Sherman here.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. A little tear come in my eye. Listen to you guys. That was some strong stuff. So I've been missing for 2 weeks now. My phone was, the bill wasn't paid. They messed my bank account around because some dude was, embezzling fund from the phone company on me. How you guys doing? I miss you guys.
We're good.
Man,
is this Brother Sherman?
Yes, it is.
Hey, peace and blessings, King. Peace and blessings.
I miss you guys.
We missed you too.
Hold it up. So I was trying to get you guys to help me with the National Federation of the Blind thing. You guys going to help me out there or what?
Yeah, just tell us what we need to do. You got a moment right now. Tell us what we need to do. We have a lot of listeners listening in, and I'm hoping that what you say will help them decide if they helping you. Go ahead.
Okay, so on March 14th, 15th, and 16th, we're having a National Federation of the Blind state seminar at the Sunrise and Folsom Boulevard. I think it's, I'm not sure which, the hotel there.
Okay.
And it should be like 300 blind people come there. And we need some young people or some people. It don't matter who these people are, but they're yelling where classes are, where seminars are, where different places that we're supposed to be at to enjoy this state seminar. And if we don't have them, blind people get lost. You know what I'm saying? We're just standing here in the middle of the hallway with nowhere to go. You know, no one introduced us to where we need to be headed. And yeah, when I asked you people earlier about it, it was what, 3 weeks ago? You wanted something to do that. Well, I see it like this. If you put in the work, you soon shall get paid. Now work with me now. This is what I'm saying. Work with me and you shall get paid. So anyway, this is Grateful Thursday. So next subject. So I told you people that I told you about, I was trying to do some stuff with these businesses that I started when I was 8 and 9 years old. So I'm not sure if I got them in my name yet, but I I talked to someone to help me understand what the court was asking me about, and I wrote him a letter. I typed letter explaining my problem with the court. And maybe they're handing me these businesses. And, man, if I get this, then I could help you. Help me with this NFT thing. I'm grateful just to be here, man, because there's no one that's resting right now that can help us. And you've got to be moving and grooving to help us as a group of people. And, Mr. Poole, I'm so proud of you. I was listening to the radio show, Hooked on Hip Hop After Dark, and you said that you were working with the voter registration. That's a change there. That, man, I'm proud of you.
Yes, sir.
I yield back.
Yes, sir. Hey, so it is the Wise Words with One Gun Show. We're going to take a moment right now. But you know what? I got a friend named Thaxter Otterberry, and he says we need to be shakers and move.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Lauren Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together. Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
That's right. You got some music up in your attic. You got a poem in your attic. You have comedy on one of the thumb drives. Man, you better send that thing in to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com and let me play it for the folks worldwide. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, man, it is an honor and a pleasure to be here with all of y'all. The phone line is real packed. We got a few people that just called in, and so I'm going to say hello to them so they can say hello to you, and we're going to get back to what we do. We got a caller from the 916-470. Good morning. Good morning. You might be on mute. Okay. All right. So we're going to continue with our discussion right now. You know, it's Thankful Thursday, and I'm thankful. I'm hoping you're thankful and grateful to be here, to be among the living. There's a lot going on in this world, and, you know, sometimes it get funky out there, right? But we have to get the Febreze or some incense to lighten the load, right? And so this is what we are. We are the Febreze for the funky situation. I got a friend I asked to call today. His name is Charles Ware. And Charles has a nonprofit in the Sacramento area. And so right now I'm going to give Charles a few minutes to talk about what he does, why he does it, and how we can help. Mr. Ware, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Also, one thing, this is my first time calling in and hearing the show. I need a protocol, brother. How you tap in? When is it available? I don't want to be
okay. So let me enlighten you. So this show comes on Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. And right now we got somebody with some background disturbances. So if you are not talking, what you do is you put your phone on mute, right? You mute your phone, and that way the outside appearance don't get into the broadcast. The other thing is there's a way to be recognized when someone's talking and you hear something that enlightens you and wants you to speak out. You push the number 1, and it'll put a hand up on my switchboard, and then I'll go to you right after that person speaks. It's a one mic thing here. We don't talk over each other. As you can see, everybody on here, they hold and wait for a little brief moment, or somebody will say, I digress, or I'll pass the mic. There, that's when someone else can come right behind them and pitch in on what we're doing. Other than that, I don't like cussing, but you know, I get emotional in here. I might throw out a few words that, but I don't want you to just cuss all day on this air, because it takes away from the sincerity of what we're trying to do, and that's be positive people, you know, in a negative world, right? And so it's a open discussion. You can talk about what you feel needs to be heard, and we'll chime in. We don't play on this air. You know, we have people call in from different places, and the rest of them will tell you they'll get on here and play. They had one time, let me just say this, a man called and said he needs help. So, you know, we really want to help. He said his wife stinks, right? And so I knew it was finna go south, right? But I allow him to keep going so I could show the new listeners and those that have never experienced someone coming on here to put on pranks and whatnot. So the man gets his wife on the phone, and he goes, yeah, that's the show we listen to, and they're talking about this, and da-da-da-da-da. And then the next thing you know, he says, she says, well, why would you put my business out there? And she's getting hot at us for us knowing it, but she never talked about him saying it. So it's a lot of things that go on here. We try to really filter out all the foolishness, because we have enough of that everywhere else. We don't want that here on the Wise Words of One God Show. And this is our 11th season, right? This is our 11th season. We've been here thanks to Joe Levy and Jay King. I got on Jay King's show 11 years ago with Joe Levy, and then the next day I started this show. And this show is a powerful show. We have listeners in Canada, Uganda, Sid Singleton, shout out to you. We got people in Kenya listening, Ray. Thank you. We have people in the UK, Sir Mike. We have people in Canada, Sacramento, Los Angeles. We got Double R from Southern Cal on here. Whoop, whoop. But it is a family type of airing, right? We don't want to put stuff out there that the big mama can't listen to, right? And so that's pretty much it, man. There's no real rules to regulate. But be cautious of what you say. With that being said, Charles Ware, what's going on?
All right. Can I say this one thing? I'm in the car right now, and that might be the disturbance you're hearing, but I'll be out in about 2 minutes. Can you get back to me in 2 minutes? Because I don't want to.
I sure can. You know. Brother Marvell. Oh.
Yes, sir.
What's happening with you?
I'm out. Oh, Okay, I was on mute. Sometimes my phone will go dark, and I can't tell. You know, when we were talking about the gratitude, and Joe came on, and he expressed what a word, the potency and the power of a word had on his experience, it made me have more gratitude for what we do here. Because we have a lot of people sharing words of wisdom, words of encouragement, testimonies of experience. And out of those, out of the people that share here, the people who are listening, it's very likely that one of us is going to speak a word into their experience. And I'm grateful to have that kind of diversity, because that's an opportunity for that to occur. Program is an extremely unique in that regard, is that when we talk encouragement, we talk about raising the consciousness about an issue. We talk about upholding the rights of people who have been wronged. When we talk about that, whoever's listening to that, sooner or later, it's going to dawn on them that this is the truth. And well, how they handle it is going to be where they are spiritually. And so we're doing a lot of good work, stirring it up and urging people to do some thinking. And the people that you identify that calls in that don't speak, I understand. They're taking it in. Because when a decision is made to participate, it's probably going to be wholehearted. So they take their time before they make their decision. Now, another thing that I've observed that's going to be required to allow gratitude and the Spirit of God to surge through of one's experiences, it's going to take some courage. It's going to take a little courage to not just go along waiting around for that spiritual experience to hit you, but to move toward it. We got a young man that we work with. He lives with his grandfather. And when you ask him a question, he'll murmur an answer, or he'll shrug his shoulders. Or he'll say he doesn't care. These are his three go-tos. Shrug his shoulders, say I don't know, or I don't care. And we're urging him to have a little bit more courage to look inside and be honest about what it is that makes it difficult for him to express himself. And that's what we're doing here. We're stirring it up and asking. You know, if you have a difficult time expressing yourself, take a shot at us, because we are very sincere. You know, if you've been here long enough, you'll know, or at least can conclude fairly, that we are sincere and that we are people who have not only gratitude for where we are or where we've been, but optimism about where we're going. And we want y'all to come with us in the vision of being expressive, being creative, which that's part of our heritage, is creativity. Just getting to that, understanding that, and and assisting each other in becoming productive in our creativity. So it, when Joe said that, it was moving to me. I'm sitting here in tears because I know that brother been in up. He's been in and out of a medical situation, but you can't tell it unless you know the man. You can't tell it because every time he talks, he's still talking about the, even though his currency might look a little dim. Where he is currently might look a little dim, but he, when he speaks, he talks about the future. So please take that in tow.
I say, Brother Ware, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. I just want to give a shout out to my good friend, Mr. Leo Hickman. I'm at his spot on 3200 Broadway Coffee, where it's peaceful and quiet and I can talk and think. Basically, my name's Charles Ware. I'm born and raised here in Oak Park. Huge family and friends. A few years ago, I was walking down Martin Luther King, which used to be Sacramento Boulevard, and, you know, I didn't see me anymore. I saw a whole bunch of people different where I felt like I didn't fit in. And one particular place was a homeless shelter for women and kids. And I got mad at them. Like, why are these Caucasian people in my neighborhood doing this and getting money and getting paid? And after a couple of days, I realized, Charles, you can't be mad at nobody but Charles. You know, they doing it because you're not doing it. And that's what encouraged me to start my own. You know, because I feel like, especially minorities, black and brown, but people in Oak Park, South there, are really underserved and disconnected. And that's my whole purpose with my nonprofit, is to get them the information that they need, that everybody else has, you know, to find out what their daily challenges are and how I can help them overcome. Because that was me, on drugs and on the streets, you know. And I feel like that's my bigger purpose, you know, to meet them where, or meet everybody, anybody, you know, at their point. Not where I feel like they should be or, you know, anything like that. But basically, what I do is put on full-service resource fairs, barbecues and resource fairs. I call them blacktop barbecues and resource fairs because I put them on in anybody's parking lot that'll let me set up. You know, done in the Urban League, Sac High. I'm trying to put one on in May. And I'm looks like I'm going to have to do it around Mr. Tim's schedule because I know he's going to be out of town camping one weekend with the kids. And I definitely, he's the only DJ I ever used. What I do, though, is try to bring all the resources, mental health, health and wellness, testing and vaccination, criminal expungement, anything and everything that a person might need, I mean, in the community, period, because I was raised by the whole community, not just my family or, you know, the streets. It was the whole community, especially in the big park, Oak Park. And that's what I think we need to get back to. I'm also trying to put together a senior puzzle club because I was raised by elders in my community. And that's still an untapped source or resource of knowledge and wisdom. I was raised at grandma's house because my mom and daddy was at work. Kids today are work or raised at grandma's house because mom and daddy are on drugs, in jail, or dead. You know, and we're looking at Grandma 3. She's 90, 100 years old. It is just, we cannot put that responsibility on her anymore. You know, it's not, especially my generation. You know, and I felt like, you know, I always apologize to the kids coming up under me. I feel like me personally, my generation, but me personally let them down. Because I got the game good. You know, I know yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, respect, how to act in public, you know, that kind of thing. The kids I see today, I don't trust them walking around me. So, and I know that, like I said, if I don't do it, nobody else will. And it's my responsibility to pay it forward. What was given to me by my community, by my neighborhood, is what I owe the community now. That's about it in a nutshell.
Ashe. Appreciate that honesty. Appreciate that truth. And appreciate you, man. And so I got everybody's line open right now. I don't have you on mute. So you're able to speak when you feel the spirit, right? But there's someone, I think that's you, Charles, in that restaurant. Put your phone on mute. Put your phone on mute. Look on your phone and hit that microphone and pop, do that. Anyway, it is the Wise Words of One Gone show, and this show right here is for the people. That you, Joe?
No.
Okay. And so we have a little background disturbance, but watch this. It ain't that bad. So, this show right here, man, is the people's podcast, right? Anybody and everybody can call. We don't have special guests all the time. If you just joined in, you're not a guest. You family, and we treat you just as that, right? And so we have a lot in front of us, man. There's a lot of things going on with our young folks. Right now I got a young man that got out of juvenile hall. His mom told the courts that she would not allow him to come back to her home. She doesn't want him anymore. And this young man, when you talk to him, I was saying, I wonder why she said all that to the courts. Because when they gave him to me, I'm talking to the young man, and he didn't even know me, but he had conversation with me, and he communicated with me, right? Matter of fact, he came into the men's healing circle, and I didn't even know that was the young man because it was a telephone interview, right? And so when you do a telephone interview, they dropped him off over at the men's healing circle when he was supposed to come to the youth. But I was so glad he was at the men's healing circle because it gave us a chance to talk to him and hear from him. And so I was going through a personal situation, and I opened it up to the floor, and this young man gave me some of the best advice I could ever receive. And this is the same young man that is out here living in a motel with his sister, because in order for him to get out, he had to have someone step up for him. Now, his sister is pregnant, 8 months pregnant, got three other kids, and they're in a motel, right? And so I asked the community, you know, could y'all help me get this young man some clothes? Because he's been out a week, and he's had on the same clothes for a whole week, right? And so the clothes I had for him didn't fit. So I went to Ross. I bought him two big jackets because it's raining and it's cold. Then I bought him a pullover and a couple of pair of pants, a couple of shirts, and some drawers, right? And so I did that because God is in me to help this young man through his trials and tribulations. But I also wanted the community to help out because now he is going to More Life Academy. It's a Christian school, and I know Miss Tammy over there. They loving on him, right? And I just want him to know that whatever he did to go get locked up, I haven't even asked him that because he's in a different situation that I don't need to know that part. I need to help him get past where he at now. And so I'm asking y'all, tonight we're going to be at the Obama Room. Tonight I'm going to bring him to the Obama Room. There's a few people that had some gifts for him, shoes and whatnot. And I wanted him to see how the community will wrap their arms around him and love on him right where he at. That's the whole deal about that. And I didn't want to put his face on Facebook. I didn't want to put his name out there. But if you come to the Obama Room, you can meet him first by just face to face. And that way he can feel the love of the community in which it should get a spark up under him to say, you know what? Because he told us he wanted to change his life. The brothers that's on here know they was in the healing circle. And when he said his name, he said, I just want to change my life. I want to change my life. And I felt him. And I want y'all to feel him. And there's more of him out there that are not connected, that are not, people are not putting hands on them. You know what they're doing? They talk about these young people. And they're not giving them the love that they need to be a better them. And so I'm asking that if you have a young person that you see out there in them streets and you know you can help them, whether it's by giving them some words of encouragement, picking them up and taking them and talking with them, buying them some shoes, a shirt, a meal, please do that. Please do that. Because that's loving thy neighbor. With that, I'll pass the mic. Oh, I see Way Busy is on here. Way Busy, say good morning to the rest of the world. Hello.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, good morning. Thank you.
All right. He's modest, ain't he? Hey, so Marvell, man, let's talk about reparations. I know last night there was a situation going on after the men's healing circle, and it was where Sacramento was trying to do the same thing that San Francisco is doing, have reparations for the city. And can you enlighten me and the rest of the listeners on what is about to pop off?
Okay, so, and that's something else, you know, when we talk about gratitude, there's something to be grateful about in regard to the push, the push that got this issue before the state of California's legislation and the people who did it. These are scholarly people who got together and appealed to the intellectual aspect and the irrefutable aspect of our government. What they brought was so powerful, well researched and well presented that it compelled the government to get humble. And so now we're looking at a statewide movement, and it has sort of transcended to a citywide consideration. So what's happening right now in Sacramento is a board, advisory board, has been established to check the pulse of Sacramentoans about the idea of Sacramento sponsoring a reparations program. So some of the things that came out clearly to me were that this survey that people are going to be asked to fill out is going to be the basis for that decision. So it's a very important, if somebody pull up on you with this little card that's got the barcode on it, that you not just take the card and say you're going to do it, but either do it, I mean, get the card and do it. Because the type of questions that they're asking you, the most important questions are, do you think Sacramento should pursue a reparations movement? And if so, why? And these type of questions are most important. I found that out because it's not, I don't want to say it's lengthy, but it's involved. It's going to ask you about, like, my 10 questions, right? But the most important questions are whether or not you think this should be a consideration in Sacramento. And I'm going to guess that... If you're a black person living in Sacramento, or if you're a black person living in Spokane, Washington, the answer is probably going to be yeah. Yeah, wherever the issue existed, reparation should be considered for. And so Sacramento has a history of some slavery, just like most states, right? So that's the basis upon which this movement is going to be launched. And we have until May. We have until May to get 1,000 surveyed. No, not 20, excuse me, 2,000. We have until May to get 2,000 surveys done. And I'm going to be hands-on involved with that because I've already been hands-on involved with the state reparations movement. And one thing I'll say before I take any questions I pose, that one of the main issues for that you can call reparations, to call this a reparation movement, is called, the first one is compensation. So we've been hearing some stuff with the state reparations that they're going to dole out money to cities for programs, right? But that doesn't line up with reparations appeal. The appeal is that there be compensation, that meaning cash awards alongside of other things. So when people hear about reparations and they start hearing things about, well, they're going to do programs and they're going, because I think it's in Michigan, they had a movement they called reparations. It wasn't really. What they did was they gave people loans for houses and vouchers for housing, and you can buy a home, first home owner, with no interest, that kind of stuff. And they call that reparations, what is not, you know. So one of the bases for reparations, the first premise is that there be compensation, which is a cash award, right? So we can look to that as being one of the things we can look forward to, among other things. Because a lot of times people are starting to think that they're trying to program us out of the money. But we deserve a cash award as well as everything else that brings equity to our people in this country. So if there are any questions, I'll attempt to ask them because I took some notes.
I have one, right? And so reparations. Even if you give us the money, I'm talking about us, you give us the money, we will be just like these basketball, football rappers that get millions and millions of dollars and end up broke at the end of the sentence, right? And so is there any training on how to financially invest this money that's coming in? Because I say if we don't have a place where we're teaching people about money that never had money, they're not going to keep money. Oh, Lord, did I say that? Is my mic on? I'm telling the truth. If we don't teach us what money is and what money does, if we don't give them the financial literacy that they need, what they're going to do is give the money back. See, they had this thing called the PPE, and they had this thing during the COVID where they was giving out stipends, or they called it stimulus package, whatever they want to call it. They gave that money out, and I know two or three people took that money. They didn't want the money. They didn't want the money because they thought they was going to have to pay that back. It was a trick from the government. But what a couple of my people did is they took them checks, and they bought land in Uganda, right? They bought land in Africa, and when they did it, I was like, man, that's a great idea. You took that money and did something with it. Now you have something, right? And they didn't even want it. These people, they didn't want it, but they got it. And so what they did is they took a chance with that money because it was a chance that they would get it. They took a chance with it, and they still in ownership. They have a piece of the motherland, right? And so why I'm saying it like that is because a lot of us have been in the struggle so long that as soon as we get a penny, we want to shine. We want to shine. Man, look here. I'm finna get that thing that I said I was going to get. If I got enough for a Bentley and only a Bentley, I'm going to get that. It's paid for. I'm going to ride with no gas. I'm going to get out there with it. See, we don't understand money good enough to say that if they gave us the money, that we wouldn't give it right back. Then the other thing is, I would like more land given, more property given, not just the land, but something on the land, right? So that, you know, we can build from, you know. It's just, when they say the reparations, I understand, and I know the Indians got it. I know the people from the Holocaust got it. I know different other ethnicities got it, and I understand. But we, I'm talking about me and my cousins, we haven't been taught the value of money and how money can do different things. All we know is if I get it, boy, you going to know I got it. You going to know I got it. Right? And we can't do that. So is there any, my whole question to what you were saying, is there going to be any training for us to help us when we get this money, how to invest this money, how to save this money, how to make the money, make money for my money? Is there something written in that? That's what I need to know, because if not, I would give that reparation because I know it'd come right back. And then me and mine's going to double up off, yeah, y'all going to get yours, and we're going to say we gave it to you. But I'm waiting. I'm patting my foot, waiting on you to come through my door and give it right back. Help me out, somebody. I pass the mic.
No lie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I know.
Well,
see, you have a response. I want to follow up with some structure that we're looking at, but I want you to dub in on the response about the doling of the money.
Right. You guys got to understand there. That's just scratching the surface as far as you guys talking finances and money. First of all, everybody's looking at it like a lottery and a one chunk of money. No, we asking for lifetime payments. So it ain't that you just going to get something and you're going to blow it off and that's it. I mean, you know, we're going to get a chunk at the beginning, but this is every month we asking for money. So it's just not just, you know, hey, I'm going to get this and I'm going to buy this car. No, we're going to be able to buy that whatever car, whatever, and be able to put money into it. See, we right now we're trying to structure a community on where when we get it, everybody's going to be able to understand that we're going to have to build these Black Wall Streets back again. And it's been possible for us to be able to 30 days to spend our money with each other. So all this about, oh, man, they're going to blow the money. And it's their money. Let them do what they want. But, however, we got more to come, but it's not just about finance. This is about medical. This is about education. This is about other things, the way that we got people genociding in the penitentiaries and stuff like that. How about their money? You know what I'm saying? So they ain't be able to have no land or nothing. We're talking about getting land to bring them into jail so we can rehabilitate them ourselves, you know, because like you guys said about the youth, they're not trying to allow us to rehabilitate our folks. So the first going to go last and last going to go first. To me, we're going to need some property and land so we can get them out of the jail system so they can be able to enjoy too. I mean, it's a whole lot to cover when you talk about this reparations. But I ran into Chris last Saturday, you know, week before last. He will be on this show on the 2nd. This is Tuesday. And he's going to be on the 10 o'clock hour. And he's going to be able to share a lot of stuff that's behind doors that we don't know about that's happening with this final stage. We're in the third stage of this reparations movement. And we had victory on the first two. So, therefore, it's coming close that we are going to succeed. But, however, we are preparing to let people understand more about it other than comparing it to athletes and and lottery winners and stuff like that. This reparations here, man, this going to cover us, not just us, but our future generations to come. So don't fear about us blowing it. That's not what we're asking them to do. Just give us a one check and we're going to hit the road with it and do what we do. No. We looking for, because the final thing into, no, one, okay, compensation is one of them. But we're looking for what the final statement was from Camilla Moore was that repetition of things happen over and over and over again. So we're going to be covered, man. You know, I know you guys is kind of fearing us to get in and to blow it and everything. That's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. I think out of 100% everybody getting it, 100% is going to succeed. I yield back.
Thank you for that. That's why I pose questions, because people's mind want to know, but they're not going to ask it. And so I'm asking questions that need to be asked, because those that need to ask them won't. I'm gonna yield for a minute. We're gonna take a break. Y'all go get a coffee, use the bathroom. I'm gonna give y'all this. This is Boss Tootie. She made this for the show, and we're in the makings of something new for the show. But check this out. 10-year-old.
I'm gonna show you what's going on. DJ One Gun.
So we got a concert coming up in May, the first part of May. In that concert, we're going to be having a full resource center, right, where we'll have mental health, we'll have financial literacy, we'll have AOD, we'll have even the blood pressure check. We'll have all that out there. It's going to be a free event for the community. I'm trying to put that together now because it's needed, right? It's needed. We don't need to do it every now and then. It should be done monthly so our people that are on the streets can come and get their blood pressure checked, get their sugar checked, the ears and eyes checked. A lot of our people that are homeless, scared to go into these places now to get attention, and we need to bring them in the fold. If we're doing community work, we need to work with the community, all right? So with that being said, man, it's a lot going on in our town. If you have something that you know is going down, come on here and give us a rendition of what's going on so we can be a part of it. That's what community is. Now, we don't have, per se, a community, because community has economics. We have something to barter and trade. And see, we ain't got that right now. Right now, we got neighborhoods. We got some good neighborhoods, but they're not communities, right? And so we're building to be a community. And how we do that is we love on each other, explain the way life is to be lived to one another, and to share with one another so that we can build with one another. It is the Wise Words of One Gun Show, and I want to hear from Mark the Disciple. He's been quiet today. Mark the Disciple, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Okay, Mark. Right, so here, check this brother. Out, Mark. So check this out, Mark. Brother Sherman came on and said that he had something going on, and it's going to be at the, I think that's the Marriott out there off of Sunrise and Folsom. I think that's the Marriott. I haven't been out there in a while, but there's something coming up, the 14th, 15th, and the 16th, if I'm not mistaken, and it's for the Blind Association, right? And so he was saying that he needed folks to come out and help guide these folks, usher folks around. Mark the Disciple, I know you do a lot in this city, right? If they have something going on, you try to make every one of them. I want to know, how do we get help for our brother in getting folks out to be a part of that? Whether they get paid or not, that is a good thing to do, is to help somebody that needs real help, and that's the blind moving around in this facility. How do we do that, and how do we invite folks to come and be a part of that?
What we do, we got to start out by putting the word out there, and people got to understand that it's a blessing to be charitable towards someone. Because that's something you never know what position we might get into. We can go blind at any second, any moment. So, you know, we have to think outside the box and, you know, just utilize that heart that God gave us and be a blessing to someone. It's a simple process. And if I don't have anything to do that day, at least one of those days, I'm going to try my best to attend.
Ashe. And so I appreciate that. Brother Marvell, it is back on you. I'm going to take a moment. I have a few phone calls that have come in for this young man. I appreciate you all for wanting to help this young man and his family. And, man, I'll give you all an update. With that being said, I'm going to pass the mic.
Okay, but before you go, I want to get this. You said a bomber room tonight. What time?
6 to 8, our regular time for our game night. Our regular time
okay,
for our
six
game
eight.
Night.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got you. All right, so for Brother Sherman, I would appreciate it if you could take my email, if that's something that you're adept at, me mailing, and send me whatever information that represents that, or send me the website so I can check into the details about what's going on at that event. And then we could promote that with some of our young people, or we can promote that with some of our groups that we meet with regularly to see if we can accommodate you. I want to make a correction about something I said about a pilot reparations city that piloted some reparations that wasn't really reparations. I said it was in Illinois, but it was actually Michigan, but it was actually in Illinois. It's in Evanston, Illinois, right? And they attempted to call it reparations, but it was really like giving loans and giving vouchers for housing and that kind of stuff. So, if someone, I think someone could, if they don't mind, could they mute, because it's getting kind of loud. Okay, so another thing that, as far as the reparations, that when Tim brought it to the floor about what took place last night. Generally, I gave you a general overview, but there are some other things that we discussed that were very interesting. One of them is that when the city decides, based upon the survey, that they're going to go forth, then we're going to insist that not only committees that are formed be black people, but black people of backgrounds of experience with homelessness, with
that have come out. And we're not going to get somebody out of homeless and bring them in, but someone who has experienced that, someone who experienced a background of being incarcerated, someone who's experienced a background of being under the, you know, under the grips of addiction. We need these type of people who have a really level eye view about what goes on in our community to represent the board and the committees that push forth what we need in our community. So that was one thing that came up, and there was a long presentation done by Mama Roz to make sure that we understood the importance of pushing toward this community, community representatives. And then we had Chris Lodgson, who is a legend. He co-wrote the legislation originally in 2019 that got us reparations considered in the first place, was there. And he corroborated with that there's a couple of things that we're going to really have to push forward to make sure that we don't allow decisions to be made by people who don't know about our experience. So that's one of the developments for SAC committee. You know, the SAC committee, once we convey that we want the city to do this, I don't see any reason why we can't get 2,000 signatures, 2,000 surveys done in order for them to look at it and conclude the same thing, that yeah, we want it, yeah, we got it coming, so give it up, let's do it. So once that has been conveyed, then the next move would be to set up the committees to do the recommendations for how to do it, right? And so we're pushing for the committees to be those people that I talked about just now, with backgrounds and a true understanding of what's going on in the community. And I'll piggyback right now on the Flo Kofer candidacy for mayor is pretty similar to that. She's been working in the communities. She has a level eye view of what's going on in the communities. So it's fair to think that we would do well to have someone who has that perspective to make decisions about the city. We're just moving and making it clear that, okay, give, because all reparations is really not a repair. Reparations is really an acknowledgement of the broken to fix themselves, an acknowledgement that's not only said but represented by what the wherewithal, Mark, what we need to repair ourselves. We've earned that award to repair ourselves. So reparations is just a word that's used. It's not, because now when you say reparations, people think that, you know, a whole bunch of things, like, okay, give me the money and I'll be repaired. No, that's not, like Double R said, no, that's not the fullness of what this movement is about. This movement, if done as the way it's designed, we won't have to pay taxes anymore. So that's how deep and broad the scope for this thing is. But most people just think about the money first. Like, yeah, I want my money. And the gravity to that is it's kind of sad, because that's the first thing that attracts someone to the idea. So we have to kind of roll with that and then include them in on all the other benefits after they understand that, okay, you'll get some money. And then not only that, and then we have to do the not only that, because unfortunately the first thing that people think about is money. And that's why, excuse me, that's why there's a lot of this fervor in the air by people generally and the suspicion of people generally that, okay, you give you money and then the next thing you know, you broke. Well, we have a body of people who are working toward creating, one of them is called the Black United Community Advocacy Foundation. Their design is to create a membership of sorts to something, or create an ability for establishing manufacturing and distribution bodies, mostly in agriculture. So when we get the land, one of the things that we can focus on immediately with the land is agriculture. And we have agriculturalists who are very superb and have very knowledgeable about how to do it. And so that could be our foundation for being distributors and manufacturers, creators, and distributors of a commodity that everybody needs, right? Everybody needs food. And that's where it'd be a good start for us to capture that market and be nationwide and possibly worldwide, because we are the agriculturalists truly in this country. We're the ones who harvest the crops. We're the ones who know the land. So we would do well to capture that market first. And it makes sense if you got an award from the reparations that you might do whatever else you want to do with your money, but set a little something aside to invest in an established agricultural firm that's being prepared now, not waiting for reparations. It's being prepared now so that we can set the precedent and have a visual aid and have a founded, clear, and working organism for you to consider investing in. And we have high-tech people. We had a young man that came in our group last night, owns his own tech company, and he has diversity in that tech company. He just doesn't do with data, hard copy, and all that stuff. He has some diversity. He's branching out. And so we would tap into someone like that and invest in these people who have become professional in their field and help them grow. So there are plans to make sure that once the money is awarded, that there is an investment that you can trust will redouble your money and create the generational wealth that we aspire to. And I hope that's I hope I'm not being too wordy when I express that, but these are the things that are on the table while we're seeking the reparation.
Yeah, Double R, can I add to that? Let me add to that a little bit. You guys got to understand, though, our first project would be this Black Unity. We have to unite everybody to get them on the same page. You know, it's going to be a lot thrown at us. And it's an uphill battle still right now on the stage of reparations, because we have to deal with legislation. But as far as us preparing, getting all of our resources together, we got, I mean, like you talk about agriculture, yes, we got so many things we can do, medical field type of things, automotive, construction with building and everything. This is where we use our like-minded people and put our resources together, so when the check get cut, or they cut us this check and they cut us this land, we'll be ready. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that it's a negative thing to say about this money and say that, oh, well, you putting it in somebody's hand. You got to understand, that's not only what we going to get. We were looking for payments for the rest of our life. We're not looking for just give me this money. I'm about to go run and do what I do. And no. Education. We can't even study Black history through first through 12 in the United States. You know, so we need our sovereign society. We need our own land, our own schools, our own HB elementaries, HB high schools, HB middle schools, and HB colleges. You know what I'm saying? We need to be able to provide for ourselves, because we keep putting it in their hands. And they keep putting these laws against us that, well, we can't even study our old damn history, and just for our youth. And they're trying to kill our youth, just like you had with the probation and the youth authority and all that. They don't give a damn about us. But see, that's when our resources are going to come together through A to Z.
We putting all our resources together like right now. This radio station is powerful because I hear us talk about little things that we can with and we helping each other with. But when this reparations things come, everybody has to step up and give the, either they 1% of money, 1% of time, 1% of resource, whatever, to come together and unite. I yield back.
Ooh, that's big. Ooh, that's big. You're listening to the Wise Words of Wangon Show. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Hey, man, I just tuned in. I was on the phone with a lot of people that's willing to do something for this young man. And I told them, well, listen, you can do something this month, and then I will section off some people for next month until this young man gets what he needs. We're not going to all throw it at him all at once, because if we all came together like they call him right now, he ain't got nowhere to put all this stuff. And I just love my community, man. I love my community. Now, one thing I know about my community, they'll say something, but they don't walk that thing all the way out, right? I done seen it done before, so those that are calling me, I know that they are really about that business. The ones that are just posting on the Facebook, I appreciate that. That encourages someone else to do it, or discourage because of the fact that they think that there's too much going and that they don't need to involve themselves. So if you're not going to do what you say, don't say nothing, because you'll block somebody's blessing. With that being said, we're going to have a moment. This is the last day of Black History Month, and we want to have a moment in Black History. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, for a minute I was thinking I was doing a post Black History, because I was thinking today was the first. But we have 29 days. We're fortunate to have 29 days, I guess, every 4 years or something, right? So we got an extra day in the shortest month of the year to recognize some particulars about our heritage here in this country. It's, you know, we've talked about not just those things that have happened or people who have structured our history. We've talked about behaviors and indoctrinations that are part of our history as well. I don't want to get too, you know, too in depth about it, but it's just that we stir up and we turn out and turn over some of those behaviors for us to look at, so that we can redress and adjust, so that we can work together from this point on. Yet I always like to be the one to talk about how this country was structured by our labor and by our deliberacy, by our resiliency, by our stamina. They brought us here because of our stamina, right? Because we have the ability, the natural ability, to undergo heat, pressure, minimization, and still perform to a high degree, right? So part of our history and part of this country's history intermingle when we talk about inventions that Black people created to make this country what it is. Lawnmower. A man named John A. Burr, a Black man, invented the lawnmower. And then, see, what happens is when someone invents something that's one of those commodities, one of those must-haves, right? The must-have aspect of it attracts people to come on and keep on improving to compete for the market. So we started with a hand lawnmower. Now we got lawnmowers on wheels, right? But we can't forget the origin. Time we do. Do you know the elevator was something that was practiced, but it was used with, before it became automated, there was a challenge because they couldn't really
monitor how when the elevator stopped to be right where it needs to be and to alert somebody. A black man invented the elevator door to open and close with synchronization to the level that it stopped on. A black man did that. A black man created the automatic fishing reel. Tim, did you know that a black man created the automatic fishing reel, right? So we used to have the rod with a string on it. You toss it out there, and you wait. You know, you can't get it but so far, as far as you can chuck it. But the automatic fishing reel allows for that line to be tossed to a great length. And then once you're pulling it in, you're reeling it in with the handle. Is that how it goes, Tim?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, guess what? Our brother created that. Y'all know a brother created the, hold on, let me go right here. Because I have a brochure I carry around with me everywhere I go. Because when somebody asks me something about this country and our contribution to this country, I say two things. I say, we are the true patriots of this country. You want to check the dossier to find out? We fought for this country valiantly. We fought for this country when this country was mistreating us. We still went and represented and fought valiantly. We saved lives with the Tuskegee Airmen. We had soldiers that were so very brave and went into places that no one else would go and held forts and held down positions that everyone else was scared to go to. Then we go to the Olympics and we win gold for this country. This was a bronze and a silver country for a long time till we got involved. Started with Jesse Owens and Wilma Rudolph, right? Winning gold. So we are the true patriots of this country. That's what I start out with. And then I talk about how this country got put on the globe for having creations that allow the whole world to benefit from. We have Garrett Morgan who created the stoplight. Where do you go that you don't see one? In the world if you got a car and on the road. The gas mask protecting people's lives. It has been escalated from just a gas mask to now the same kind of premise that he created is being, we used them when we had the pandemic. Some sort of mask that filters and disallows certain bacteria and certain things to get into your system. He created that, a black man. So I can go on and on and on and on about what we've done to not only build this country, but sustain this country. And I want to put a lot of emphasis on that when we look forward and when we look at reparations as a potential assistance to our healing, we could look confidently that we deserve and we've earned everything that's being considered and more. But we'll accept what's necessary for us to feel comfortable working together and building our foundation once again in this country. Because Double R talks about it all the time. I didn't know about 20. I knew about one or two that they call Black Wall Streets. I didn't know there were 20. And I trust his, I'm going to do the research, but I just trust his research that we've had places where black people were forced to live in a segregated, isolated area, and they got together and they thrived to the point to where people who saw them at their zenith of accomplishment got jealous. And they said, man, we thought we isolated them, put them somewhere, and look what they did. They're living better than us. They're making us look bad. So we seed. Then we succeed. And we supersede. That's our history here. So the sooner we can get in touch with that as a collective and get comfortable with that, not get smug, but get comfortable with what we have to offer and what we've offered in this country and what we will make this country become once they acknowledge us, it's something to look forward to. And I hope that people who may be in opposition to that or may be in doubt of that will finally come to that conclusion as well, because we don't seek retribution. We just seek equality.
Brother Marvell.
No, correction. Yeah. Double R, I want to correct you on a little bit. When Big Money Griff was a guest on here. When I met him in San Diego at the reparations meeting out there, he gave me a map. It was either close to 100 or over 100 black Wall Streets we had. So it's not 20. It's close to 100, over 100. You're black.
All right. Woo! I like that. That's a better report. Hey, so watch this. No. Brother Marvell, I once heard you say that America is called the greatest country of the world, but there's something missing in order for this country to be great again. I need to know what it is.
Until they recognize, yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Saying,
go ahead.
See, because other countries recognize that it's a land of milk and honey because of the capitalistic system that thrives here. People come here, make money, and send it back home. Right? And then when they become comfortable here, because they've carved out their own little niche, like they come and they get money, and then they get their little communities, little gated communities, and so they create their culture, they can practice their culture here with comfort, so that makes it cool to stay here. But that doesn't mean that they don't recognize that this country, the whole of it, is not as great as they say. It might be working for them, but they're looking at it and they're saying, well, hey, this country is not the great country, because guess what? They're discriminating against the original builders. They're discriminating against the original creators that made everything happen. They're discriminating against a people who are an asset to them, but they treat them less than. So they're recognizing that. And they're looking at this country saying, yeah, y'all say y'all the greatest, but, you know, until y'all straighten that out, how are we going? You know, you're a contradiction. You say that you're a democracy, but you don't practice that with the black people. So that's why this is not the greatest country. And until that right has been arrived at, it won't be.
Thank you, sir. Ooh, man, this show right here touched me. And all of the shows, you guys are wonderful, man. I want from all of our panel, you guys are wonderful, man. You bring out some wonderful demonstrations, because that's what most of the world need to see, a demo. If they can see a demo, they can kind of like connect to it, and y'all show a good demonstration. Your words are heartfelt, and the characters that you all have are in you and that precede you and go before you speaks a lot of volume. So with that being said, man, we got five minutes left on this show. Is there anybody feeling any type of way that they may need, you know, some things we talk about can trigger you. Some things can set you off, and I want to make sure before you get off this show, we close you back down so that you can be the best you can be and go through the rest of this day knowing that you're loved and that you need to share that love. Is there anybody out there that's feeling that type of way? I'm going to open all the phone lines up. All right, Brother Sherman, I had to put you on mute. I know you're probably moving and grooving over there, but it was a lot of background. So do you have anything to say about the show today, Brother Sherman? And it's glad to have you back, sir.
Hello. I thought I was on mute. I'm not sure.
No, you're good. I put you on mute because Right now, we can still hear some background, but I want to give you a chance to speak right now, sir.
So please understand that, Marvell, you made me cry a little bit because of the thought that when I came on the show 2 weeks ago and I told you about the songs that I wrote and about that song, Another One Bites the Dust, that I wasn't shooting bullets. That's why you made me cry. Because the truth is going to find you. And I hope it sets you free. And in the thought that, man, you make me want to write my congressman and ask for more money for the reparations. And I brought it to you guys once that I don't want to give you my money unless you go and get a class of how to keep it, how to make it move, how to make it groove for you. I mean, I ain't nobody. I mean, if I died 5 minutes ago, not a dollar's going to be with me. Like when our brother was talking about he was in Vietnam and the pastor was talking to him. Please understand, that touched me too. I'm so glad to be back talking to you brothers and grooving with you brothers on this. And oh, man, I'm just, oh, please understand, I'm so happy. So I'm going to talk to one of the board members of the NFV, and I'm having to contact you, Mr. Tim, okay?
I appreciate you, Brother Sherman.
And she has a Victor reader that records everything that's said, and she will take down everything that Mr. Marvell said. And I'm looking forward to make this happen because it goes on no matter what you and me do. This goes on. I mean, NFV is not going to stop because you said, oh, whoa, whoa. I mean, I've seen NFV here in Sacramento back when the scooters and the that new bike was, that electric bike was brought out, and they would just get off the bike and just leave it in the middle of the sidewalk. And so the NFV caused them to make those people get insured, and if they left their bike laying in the middle of the sidewalk and someone...
Maybe I didn't.
Okay, we have some background disturbances. Is that you, Mark the Disciple? Mute your phone. We had some callers call in just a minute ago. Reb just hung up. I had a caller from 415. Would you like to say hello before we go? Caller from the 415.
Hey, it's Baxter. I got in late, but I want to make
sure. Hey, Baxter!
How you doing?
All right. Peace and blessings. Give us some wise words before we go, Brother Dax.
All right, give me about 30 seconds. I'm going to go through this blind spot. It's good where I'm coming up this hill. Give me 1 second.
Sounds good. That is Thaxter Otterberry from Money Talks on 97.5. He's our brother in Christ, wise man, good fisherman, just an all-around good brother. And I'm glad that he called in just before we went off air. So I'm going to pass it over to Brother Thax. It's on you.
Hey, I didn't get much, but when I saw you, what you sent me is on positivity and what I just heard the brother say when he mentioned reparations and people getting educated from a literacy, financial literacy perspective before receiving that reparations. That was a powerful statement because, as we know, the times that we grew up in, you know, be it the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, it was a very prosperous time, and we didn't take advantage of it to its fullest degree. So, you know, I'm a big advocate now for the millennials, meaning that we have a responsibility to share with them, you know, the truth. And the truth is we went through a time where prosperity was so great, and we squandered it off. for the most part, be it whatever the excuse is, the fact of the matter is we were buying homes that were $35,000, $45,000, and $50,000, which are now $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, and our kids, or those millennials, can't really afford to buy them. But the truth is, we should have never sold them. So, in light of positivity going forward, I'm believing that I can incite the millennials to rise up and embrace California as the fourth largest economy in the world, and we be the wise men enough to direct them in the seven largest industries in California that they can participate in and be able to afford, you know, the prices that California demands. Because the times, California is not the South. We're not part of the Bible Belt. Our economy, if it was a country, California would be behind the United States, China, Japan, and then us, if we were a country. So I think we got to, as brothers, we have to start embracing that truth and stop treating California as if it's someplace we should leave, when in fact we should embrace it. But the only way we can embrace it is to embrace the truth of the economics. Oftentimes I hear people talk about, you know, money isn't everything. Well, in California it is. You know, maybe in New Mexico or Phoenix it's not, or Montana it's not, but in California, where we were born, where we are, money plays a huge role, and we have to embrace that, because for some reason God put us here, and I don't think he put us here to run. We got to compete. That's it. I know you got to go.
Right on, brother. Thank you for that.
But I got more. I'll come on another time. We can, where I can be.
Yeah,
can
please
be
do, man. Where you been? Yeah, where you been, man? We've been missing.
Well,
I'm gonna get back with you, though.
All right, and I'll text you my actual number. This is my San Francisco number. I didn't mean to call from there, so I'm gonna send it to you via direct messenger. Okay, and just keep me in the
loop.
I've been embracing
right
this
now.
Economy. All right. Talk soon.
Right on, brother.
Bye.
Have a good day. So, I'm guessing we got extended because we had some power in that voice and that information that allowed us to go a little over. But we're going to end this segment and look forward to you guys participating Monday. And then Tuesday we have Chris Lodgson coming on to talk about respiration. So we have our agenda. We just want you to make sure that you calendar it in and participate as we go forward.
Tomorrow, too. We got Friday.
Dadgummit. He's thinking about today is the first law of that person. Right on. We got tomorrow.
Say something else. And I also want to say that just because this month is ending don't mean Black History is ending. This is going to be year-round.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Well,
yeah,
y'all heard it right here on the Wise Words of One Gun Show. We appreciate y'all ear hustling. We'll talk to y'all more sooner than later. We out of this G thing. Peace!